You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
This episode is sponsored by UpToMeMagazine.com.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. God can use you too.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for There Is Life After Layoff radio show. Now, this evening, we will be deviating a little bit from the norm, just a little bit, and we will have an abbreviated 30-minute format this evening. So if you tune into this show on a regular basis, you know that from time to time, I'd like to take a moment to share with you about the special books and maybe movies that have helped to bless me while on this journey of rediscovery and truth. So tonight, I do have a special guest co-host tonight joining me to help me do this, just that. I'm Allie, and I am the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, There Is Life After Layoff is a vision from God, and it is my very transparent journey of facing my own truths without placing blame as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. I invite you to tune in on this conversation with us on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Up to Me radio website, formerly known as Atlanta Life Radio, at www.uptomeradio.com. So with that said, thank you for listening and for joining me on this journey. Now, just one quick announcement, and then we're going to be ready to jump right in this evening. Tonight's episode is pre-recorded, which means that we will not be taking live calls this evening. However, do not despair, because there are still ways that you can ask your questions or post comments about this particular show. And, of course, one of those ways is to visit the Up to Me Radio website, again, at www.up2meradio.com. Or you can also contact me directly at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. So if you just have a burning question or want to make a comment, we definitely look forward to hearing from you. So thank you in advance for your comments. So now we're going to get ready to jump right in. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I have a special guest co-host joining me to help me share with you about a very powerful movie that we recently saw together. And so with that said, without further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff my sister in Christ, my prayer partner, not to mention a very talented makeup artist in her own right, Ms. Char Marshall, founder of Changing Faces Makeup Artistry. Thank you for joining me tonight, Char.
Good morning, Allie, or good afternoon, Allie, or good evening, Allie, or happy day, Allie. Thank you so much for having me once again and trusting me with this format. And, yes, it is. The movie was just phenomenal, and I do thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. Who better to join me on this journey than my prayer partner and my friend. You and I, we have such a spiritual connection, and so I thank you for taking me up on the invite to go see the movie. So, you know what, where do we even begin with this? You know, as I mentioned on this past Friday, you and I had the pleasure of seeing the recently released movie, The Shack, which was actually produced by the same producers who brought us The Blind Side and The Life of Pi. And The Shack is based on the New York Times best-selling novel, The Shack, which takes us on a father's uplifting spiritual journey. After suffering a family tragedy, Mac Phillips, who happens to be the main character, he spirals into a deep depression, causing him to question his innermost beliefs. Now, facing a crisis of faith, he receives a mysterious letter urging him to an abandoned shack deep in the Oregon wilderness. Now, despite his doubts, Mac journeys to the shack and encounters an enigmatic trio of strangers led by a woman named Papa, who was played by Octavia Spencer. So through this meeting, Mac finds important truths that will transform his understanding of his tragedy and change his life forever. So that's just a little synopsis of the movie. And you know what? The book and the movie, now for you, you have not read the book, so this is, it was interesting.
No, not yet.
Yeah, to watch it with someone who had not read the book. So I'm sitting there comparing the book and the movie, you know, and I've read this book like four times, so I know it like backwards and forwards. So it was interesting for me, you know, to kind of compare the two. But both of them are firm reminders of what it truly means to be in relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. So would you agree with that statement after having watched the movie?
Oh, absolutely. I think that this journey that the Father went on was somewhat of a journey that all of us have gone on,
mm-hmm.
where things have happened in our lives so tragically, and we question, you know, our belief in God. We question, you know, your God, why did you let this happen? Because I did that personally myself when I lost my son almost 7 years ago to the tragedy of murder in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Wow.
And I was angry with God, and I needed those answers
mm-hmm.
as to why would you hurt me so bad? Why would you take something away so precious? And, you know, and spending time asking God and arguing with God during that time, he just simply said, you know, he belonged to me first. I just let you borrow him.
That's
you know, so that was a deafening moment for me, in the sense that I had to be quiet and I had to hear the voice of God
mm-hmm.
and let him
mm-hmm.
minister to me and comfort my heart and soothe me during that most tragic time. And so I understand that journey that this gentleman went on.
Yeah, and you know what? While I was sitting there in the theater with you, I looked over and it reminded me of what you went through with your son. And I promise you, I was thinking, I was saying to myself, this has got to be hitting really close to home for you in your heart.
It did.
You know, because the thought that ran through my mind was, who can better relate to this movie than a parent who has tragically lost their child, you know,
mm-hmm.
before their time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about you, and my heart was going out to you, you know, while we were sitting there. And, you know, I was saying to myself, wow, this is powerful on so many levels to be watching it with you, you know, someone who has experienced that. And I kind of did a little background check, and it's interesting because the author himself says that the people might be wondering where the title of the book even came from. And
mm-hmm.
he said that the title of the book is actually a metaphor for the house that you build out of your own pain. And it is a metaphor for the places where you get stuck, where you get hurt, and where you get damaged, and the mm-hmm. thing where shame or hurt is centered. Isn't that interesting?
It is, because as I sit here and I hear you say these words, I can think of the mansion that I once built, that shack of a mansion, and the mansion that so many people that we see on a day-to-day basis, they live in those shacks, those mansion shacks, because they're so full of pain and hurt. They won't let go of a past. This movie was so much about forgiveness and love
mm-hmm.
and redemption and, you know, eternal happiness and trusting in God and faith and new life and forgiving yourself and failure and coming back from that failure, you know, and seeing the pain, you know, that turns into triumph in the end when you put your whole trust in God. So, yeah, that metaphor for that shack is really, really deep, because a lot of us are living in those shacks. Some of us have moved out. Some of us are still there, you know. It's really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one statement that really resonated with me in the movie, and it speaks to the pain that we build our shacks on, that it's the foundation of the shack, the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But one statement, and I know you'll remember this from the movie, is that I think it was Papa who made the statement, and Papa, who was played by brilliantly portrayed by Octavia Spencer. She said to him,
Spencer, yeah.
Yeah, she said, pain has a way of clipping our wings and keeping us from being able to fly.
Fly. That's
and
right.
if left so, unresolved yeah. for very long, you can almost forget that you were ever created to fly in the
fly.
First place.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was so deep
wow.
on so many levels. I was like, oh, my God, because they were looking at this bluebird, and she was
mm-hmm.
telling him how beautiful. And that's when they kind of she made the comparison to the bird and the clipping of the bird's wings. And, that just hit me, like, you know, over the head like a ton of bricks, because oftentimes, you know, we forget, you know, that we're supposed to fly. God wants us to fly like the bird and
oh, yeah.
soar like the eagle, you know,
yeah.
above the storms of life. And if we don't get control of our pain and, you know, forgive those who may have hurt us, like you said, the forgiveness is a big theme in this movie and in the
oh,
book.
Yeah.
Then we're not able to fly. We're grounded. We ground
right.
ourselves.
Yeah. A lot of the times we do clip our own wings, and a lot of the times we blame others for clipping our wings, and a lot of the times we blame God for not making our wings strong enough, or a lot of the times we just don't want to fly. We just want to be stagnant and lazy because we were not born into, but we were raised into an environment where there were no flyers.
Yeah.
And you become a product of your environment. You become a victim of circumstance when you don't have other flyers around you that are soaring and doing their things. And when you see that they're not doing anything, you think that becomes the norm, the thing to do, not fly.
Right, exactly. And you know what else I think was a powerful theme throughout this movie is the generational hurt. Because if you recall, and I don't want to give this away for anybody, but it started out with this dream that he had
mm-hmm.
about what he experienced in his father and
mm-hmm.
the abuse and, you know, the hurt that he built, started to build. He started to build his shack back then.
Oh, yeah.
When he was a
yeah,
young
I
boy.
I think he, you know, he grew up in that fear. Mm-hmm. And of not wanting to be like his father.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the more you try not to be like someone, sometimes you end up being just like them because you're fighting that ghost of that past. And you mimic some of those behaviors.
Absolutely. And little did we know, but it kind of gets revealed later on in the movie that his dad was a victim of the same type of abuse.
Wow.
And so it continues to perpetuate itself throughout generations, but it's going to take one person, at least one person in the bloodline, to
mm-hmm.
stand up and say, you know what, it stops here.
Mm.
You know, it stops here. I'm not going to perpetuate this. It's not going to go any further than now. And, you know, in my own life and in my own journey, there are things that I had to take a stand on and say, you know what, I'm stopping it now.
Exactly.
This is not going.
You got to move out of that house of pain, honey.
Yeah.
You got to move out of that house of
Girl,
pain.
Girl, evict me. I want an eviction notice.
Foreclose on this house of pain. You know, I understand.
Ooh, I'm giving
absolutely.
A note back to the bank. Whatever.
Absolutely. 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 I'm not paying any more payments
Mm-mm.
into this shack.
Mm-mm. No,
and,
sir.
You know, I wondered why, you know, the shack was so deep in the forest, you know, it was so deep in the forest, and
because we buried
yeah,
the pain,
yeah.
I
and
think
when those
that,
trees
it.
Fall, nobody can hear them.
Yeah,
nobody can hear them. So that was pretty interesting. That you know, he can go to that shack and he can scream out in pain,
yeah,
and nobody hears him but God.
Exactly, and. You know, it's. I don't think it was by any accident that his wife, Nan, had a great spiritual relationship with God. And, you know, when he got to the shack and he came face to face with God, God knew who she was, you know, because
mm-hmm.
she had a personal relationship. And so that, again, alluded to the fact that God will give us and the people and the experiences that we need to get them closer,
mm-hmm.
you know, to us. And his wife was that kind of that, I guess, that segue
mm-hmm.
into knowing that, okay, that relationship is possible. I'm not there, but, you know, I could get there. I want to get there, but I'm having trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but he saw the relationship that she had with God, who she affectionately called Papa, which I love,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because he is our Father.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we put him, God, on a pedestal that he doesn't ask to be put on, and all he wants to do is have a son, daughter, son, father, you know, type of relationship
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with us all.
Yeah,
and we
absolutely.
Put him on this huge pedestal that he's unreachable, untouchable, and that's so far from the truth of what he wants to, you know, how he wants to be in relationship with us, you know. So to me, I mean, I could go on and on about the lessons, the symbolism and the metaphors, but it was brilliant, you know, and it made me think what kind of mind does the author William Young have to come up with this creativity and this to be able to share his gifts. And I'm grateful that he did it because it has blessed me throughout the years. And like I said, I've read the book 4 times and now I have the
mm-hmm.
movie, you know, and I'm going to continue to read it at least once a year because I think it ministers to you wherever you are, wherever, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we are not going to stay in the same place.
Right.
And so it has ministered to me at different junctures in my journey, and I've gotten
mm-hmm.
different things from it. So I'm excited for you to read the book, and then you and I need to come back together and talk about it. And I know that's going to be a 2-hour conversation.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because you've got so many main characters that represent so much stuff, and then you have this bread of life and this tree of life and the growth and it's so much stuff that everyone, I really believe, can relate to. And Octavia Spencer does an awesome job playing Papa and making it very simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is not that difficult. He really is not that complex.
No.
And
no.
being able to sit down and talk to him like you sit down and talk to a friend, it's just, you know, it was just so heartwarming. I truly, truly got blessed with that movie. I really did.
Yes. And another thing is that really connected with me in both the book and in the movie is the representation of Sarayu, who was the representation of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the description that Jesus gave of Sarayu in the movie was that Sarayu represents the creativity in us, the creative
mm-hmm.
spirit, the creative
mm-hmm.
side of us. And oftentimes I really give credit to the Holy Spirit speaking to me to be able to do what I do. And
mm-hmm.
I know it was the Holy Spirit who helped me to write my book.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you know, for those of us who are creative-minded, it is the, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking through us to give us that creative side, and the insight. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the author, William P. Young, he wrote this book some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's such a deeply involved, these deeply involved metaphors about pain and about recovery and forgiveness, I wonder what was it that he went through in his own personal life that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Allowed him to come to put this book on the pages and turn it into the life that it is now.
Now, I did a little bit of research. In the author's bio, it didn't really refer to any kind of pain specifically, mm-hmm. but he grew up in a in Canada. He's from Canada, and he grew up in a fairly religious upbringing that
mm-hmm.
was kind of strict, but I don't recall it saying anything specific to, you know, something, him going through something like this, what our character mm-hmm. has gone through. But I can say is that, what I can say is that he actually only wrote this book as a gift for his children. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for his children. He had no intention of ever publishing this book, ever.
Mm. Wow.
And so he then let some friends read it, and his friend said, you have to publish it.
Mm.
And what happened was that he, I guess, put it out there to several publishing houses, and, you know, both religious and secular, and nobody mm-hmm. took him up on it. Nobody bit. And so at that point in time, I believe that, you know, a couple of friends of his who were former pastors in Los Angeles and then a filmmaker friend, they decided that they wanted to get this book out there. So for those of you out there who have books in you and who are, you know, thinking about self-publishing, The Shack, which is now a movie and it's a number one New York Times best-selling book, was self-published.
Wow.
So, yeah, they took their credit cards and they created this company called Windblown Media.
Mm.
They created this company for the purpose of publishing the book.
Wow.
And the marketing for the book, guess what? Word of mouth. Mm. Word of mouth marketing took it to the New York Times bestselling list.
Isn't that amazing? That's powerful.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that powerful? So for those of you out there who want to write a book and are thinking about self-publishing and thinking about, well, can I do this or do I need to get a publisher to do, you can self-publish your book and it can go to the New York Times bestselling list.
Mm.
I'm believing that for
a good story.
Yeah, I'm believing that for my book and I'm believing it for the book that you're going to write.
Absolutely. The several books that I'm going to write.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But isn't that interesting? So that said another, gave me another message that when God brings you to it, he'll get you through it. He will give
you
the means.
He definitely will. He definitely will. Like we were talking earlier about the prayer of Jabez and how God, you know, you ask God to enlarge your territory. And a lot of times where people fail with that prayer is that they ask God to enlarge their territory, but they don't ask God to equip them with the things they need to enlarge that territory
yep.
or to work that territory or to surround them with the right people that have the same mindset to make, you know, this passion, this gift, this dream come true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, you're a part of my Jabez prayer, and I just appreciate
you
so much because you encourage me and you push me on to go further than you know I've ever been as far as publishing my own book, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm glad I'm getting out of my shack, honey.
Girl, what? Like I said, evict me because I don't want to be in that shack, you know. And but you know what I think? I really believe that. From time to time, I think it's necessary for us to visit the shack so that we can evict ourselves,
mm-hmm.
so that we can get on top of it and really get to the root of the pain or the unforgiveness or the bitterness that we may feel for whatever reason, whatever the case is, for us to seclude ourselves in the shack with God, Jesus, you know, and the Holy Spirit, and to really get in touch with what is the root cause of that pain. Why aren't we not flying? Why have we clipped our own wings? So I think from time to time we have to, even though we may not want to and it's painful, we have to visit our shacks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And,
you know, on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on that journey, you know, that God has us on, you know, our destination is already awaiting us, and the journey that we go on, we have to know that there are going to be obstacles along the way, and some of those obstacles will not be pleasant ones.
Mm.
But if we just tap into our resource, and we have to understand that we're not in control of anything, God is.
That's right.
And as soon as we really embed that in our heart and in our minds and in our thoughts and our walk and in our talk, then we can better understand that, okay, this hurts right now. This hurts like hell. But I know God is going to get me through it. I'm going to trust mm-hmm. him. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to believe in him. And even on those days when I didn't want to talk to anybody or I didn't want to hear none about God, I didn't want to hear nothing about nothing because the pain was just that deep. But once I conceded,
right.
and I'm like, you know, okay, I can't do this by myself anymore, that's when I realized that I really wasn't in control of anything.
That's right.
You know, but I am in control of going to God. You know, it's up to me to go to God, you know, because he's always there anyway.
That's right. That's
he's
right.
always there for us to reach out to. And, I mean, God, this book is, this movie was just so heart-wrenching, but so victorious. You know, you have an array of emotions. I know for me, I you know, I'm like, I'm not going to cry in this movie. This movie's not that deep. Honey, please. I
you and I
whole...
both. I know you saw me over there. I was like,
oh
I had to put my hand over my mouth. I was like.
and you could hear it throughout the whole theater.
Yeah.
Before the sniffing.
Sniffing.
Oh, my God. And I'm like, you know, it was such a piece that was across the whole theater because everyone was so intense in listening to the message that came up out of this, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just awesome. Awesome
experience. I had to collect myself. I felt like I had actually met God when I was watching that movie. I came out of it feeling emotionally drained. I really did. And you and I kind of stood there and talked a little bit after the movie. And I know you saw the look on my face. I felt like I had purged and
And I think that's what the intent of the movie. I think that's what the intent of the movie is, is to, you know, really have everyone to come out there with a sense of it's going to be all right no matter what it is.
Absolutely. So you know what? Thank you. You know, we said we were going to do an abbreviated show. We just wanted to do this brief movie review for the Shack. So thank you for joining me, Char. You know, appreciate you. And, you know, we want to recommend to everyone, please go see the movie. You know, it'll bless you. You know, and I want to remind our listeners that you can catch up on all of our past recorded shows. We have the automatic player box on the There Is Life After Layoff show page on UpToMeRadio.com website. Then you can catch us on the mobile app Stitcher. We're also on iTunes. All you have to do is search for Up To Me Radio. You can always reach out to me through my website at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com, and you can also purchase a copy of my new book on through my online store. And if you want to contact me directly through thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com, you can do that as well. Also, continue to follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio and Up To Me Radio at Up To Me Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at AllieWard45, and I'm on Pinterest at AllieWard65. And please also follow us on Facebook. You can find us at There Is Life After Layoff, and then Up To Me Radio can be found on Facebook at Up To Me Radio. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, I say thank you. From myself and my co-host, Ms. Char Marshall of Changing Faces Makeup Artistry. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
You're welcome.
Do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. And until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember that there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you. Didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know. joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure.
No.